The Everlasting Man by G.K. Chesterton. Appendix 2. On Authority and Accuracy. In this book, which is merely meant as a popular criticism of popular fallacies, often indeed of very vulgar errors, I feel that I have sometimes given an impression of scoffing at serious scientific work. It was, however, the very reverse of my intentions. I am not arguing with the scientist who explains the elephant, but only with the sophist who explains it away. And, as a matter of fact, the sophist plays to the gallery, as he did in ancient Greece. He appeals to the ignorant, especially when he appeals to the learned. But I never meant my own criticism to be an impertinence to the truly learned. We all owe an infinite debt to the researches, especially the recent researches, of single-minded students in these matters, and I have only professed to pick up things here and there from them. I have not loaded my abstract argument with quotations and references which only make a man look more learned than he is. But in some cases I find that my own loose fashion of allusion is rather misleading about my own meaning. The passage about Chaucer and the child martyr is badly expressed. I only mean that the English poet probably had in mind the English saint, of whose story he gives a sort of foreign version. In the same way, two statements in the chapter on mythology follow each other in such a way that it may seem to be suggested that the second story about monotheism refers to the southern seas. I may explain that Atahokan belongs not to Australasian, but to American savages. So, in the chapter called The Antiquity of Civilization, which I feel to be the most unsatisfactory, I have given my own impression of the meaning of the development of Egyptian monarchy, too much, perhaps, as if it were identical with the facts on which it was formed, as given in works like those of Professor J. L. Myers. But the confusion was not intentional. Still less was there any intention to imply, in the remainder of the chapter, that the anthropological speculations about races are less valuable than they undoubtedly are. My criticism is strictly relative. I may say that the pyramids are plainer than the tracts of the desert, without denying that wiser men than I may see tracks in what is to me the trackless sand. End of Appendix 2. The End of The Everlasting Man.